Blog Talk Radio.
Redemption.
Welcome, all you religious rockers. Did that rock you, that tune? That lady is magnificent. I don't remember her name. I came across that tune about 7 years ago, and I usually open my Christmas with it. Yes. O holy night, the stars are shining brightly. And who put all those stars in the sky? I know. The Big Bang Theory. That's right. And in 23 days, the Big Banger will be born again. Yes, baby Jesus is the Big Banger. And he and his Father and the Holy Ghost, as we used to say in the old days, now it's the Holy Spirit. Yep. But it sure beats zombies and vampires, man. And Friday the 13th movies, the love of Christ is much stronger, and it leaves you with peace of mind. And he's coming back, and his mother is going to present him to us on Christmas Day. That's Christ Mass, abbreviated. They drop one S. It's Christ Mass. Yeah. Never mind the season's greetings crap. It's not trout season. It's not deer season. It could be mating season, depending on who you are courting. Or as they say down south, courting and sparking. Yes. But baby Jesus is coming to see us. And that benefit. And this year he's bringing two benefits. One, presents for all the kids. All the kids love this time. The communists tell them it's Santa Claus, this imaginary guy that lives in the North Pole. But they don't want you to believe in Jesus, but they want you to believe in this imaginary guy who lives in the North Pole. You know, you want to put an end to this Santa Claus stuff? It'll be out of Macy's tomorrow. All you have to do is go to Macy's and tell the governing board, the Red Star people, that Santa means saint. And clause is in the Constitution, and the clause says nobody shall interfere with the worship of God. It's called freedom of religion. The communists will tell you it's freedom from religion. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's freedom of religion. And you can be on a football field, and you can throw a Hail Mary pass, and nobody can put you in jail. Yes. So, I'll give you my little intro. Atheists make the best communists. Communists make the best Democrats. My friends, the war is on. Obama is bringing his full military army onto the streets. And that is the battlefield. And all you have to do is see the clips of Ferguson and watch all of those terrorists, those economic terrorists, kicking in a store window, probably a store door glass, probably the one that that thug robbed the cigars from, and they're going back in to get the rest of the cigars. And they look like they're doing the limbo. It is really, how hard up can you be that you got to break into a man's business and loot it? It used to be a joke when they had the riots in Cleveland, and one of the black comedians came out and said, "Hey, how do you like this suit? I picked it out of a window in Cleveland, a store window in Cleveland." Everybody laughed. It was funny. Now we're reliving Cleveland, courtesy of the tyrant that rules the White House and his Heinrich Himmler, head of the Department of Justice. Unbelievable. And they're playing the race card. Now, Al Sharpton is graduating. He may be the next Secretary of Defense, Al Sharpton. Right now, he's president of NBC. And they're afraid to deny him his rights, his street rights. So, atheists make the best communists. Communists make the best Democrats. And the party of death, the party that burns the flag, the party that kills kids, the party that doesn't want to see Americans outnumbering illegal immigrants. They call them immigrants and illegals. They're invaders, man. They're invaders. I know why they're coming here. They need money. They need to work. They need to get away from their El Presidente and come to live with this dictator. Yes, because they're going to get free shit. Yes, but I got to say one thing. At 6 o'clock in the morning in the ghetto, you know why it's called a ghetto? Because it used to be a poor neighborhood. And then the Democrats brought the drugs in and doped up the inhabitants. And now it's a ghetto. Yes, but you won't find a ghetto in a gated community where all the Democrats live. No, shut them out, those barbarians. Oh, yes, yes, we love them. Yes, we do love them. Yes, we'll give them anything that belongs to somebody else. Yep. So, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, and come sip tea with us. The atheists say Jesus is a fairy tale, and he's banned from communist public schools. I call them pubic schools, because there's only one course, and once you've been there, you've had the course. Jesus is banned on football fields. It is easier for a player to raise his arms in surrender to the police, but never surrender to the sign of the cross. May God bless the Washington Redskins this Sunday as they crush the ram of evil. The blessed Washington Redskins. Yeah. I want to see the team that comes to the field with crosses on their helmets. I want to see that team. The Tim Tebow team. Yes. The good news is Jesus is coming in 23 days. And if you want to see Santa Claus removed by the communist media, just tell everybody that Santa means saint. And clauses in the Constitution as freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. To deny religion is to deny freedom. You cannot make believe it does not exist and brainwash little children into not saying, "Bless me, Jesus." Yes. Ask God to protect us from ISIL and Al-Qaeda and the Party of Death, the Communist Party, a.k.a. Democrats. And ISIL, I hear, and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban may be coming up from Venezuela and over the southern border that Obama has built a Trojan horse. Yeah. And they may be paying us a visit for Christmas. Yeah, boy, I'd hate to see another plane going into a brand new tower, would you? Well, how would you feel if that happened? How would you feel if they opened up in every mall during shopping? How would you feel when you saw bullet-riddled baby carriages? How would you say, "Hey, Christian, here's your..." How would you feel about that? Would you be able to say season's greetings then? Happy holidays? It's happy holy days. So, having said that, let us ask God to protect us. Happy birthday, baby Jesus. We love the Holy Family. We love all families, including the unborn, not recognized by the Communist Party. So, having said that, I'm going to look for some news to read you tonight. And, I only got 50 seconds left. I didn't set the time right. Don't worry. We're going to have high hopes.
Next on your phone with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned.
I'm stopping the show. Good news. Guess what's coming with Jesus at Christmas time? It's not only gifts for the kids. It's gifts for the daddies and mommies. Guess what Jesus is bringing us at Christmas time? Before the Democrats take credit for it. Gas prices are going to drop below $2 a gallon. So says money. Money says gas prices have been falling for months, and thanks to plummeting oil prices, they're expected to keep dropping this year. As of Monday, the national average for a gallon of regular was down to $2.77, except in California. Yeah, pay California, pay through the nose. Yeah. While the average in at least 10 states was under $2.60, the national average was $3.27, which is considered reasonable. No, reasonable is 27 cents a gallon. Wholesale prices for U.S. crude oil are down 38%, and we haven't even opened up the pipeline. And pretty soon, we're going to be drilling all over this country. Everybody's going to have a drill. Everybody will be discovering oil on their property. And if somebody tells you, some communist tells you you're damaging the environment, tell them to go frack themselves. How cheap? The national average may hit $2.50 in gas stations in states where pump prices are already low, all but guaranteed to dip into sub-minus $2 territory. Oh, we should have a party when it goes below $2. And thank you, Saudi Arabia. Keep on pumping that juice, buddy. Get it out there and put Putin and Iran out of business. And then we'll give you credit for defeating the access of evil. A-C-C-E-S-S, the access of evil. Yeah, that's Obama has access to the access of evil. Yeah, just tell President Putin, as soon as I get in this second term, I'll destroy everything these Americans have. Yeah. Oh, he never said that. No. And he never tells the truth. Okay. Okay. So we got to do high hopes, because we may have high hopes for Christmas.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam,
'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
I was watching O'Reilly tonight, and I like the way he sits up there and plays fair and impartial. And he was telling Monica Crowley that the Republicans better not do anything until they assume power in January. They should just cool it. It's a good thing he wasn't at the invasion of Normandy. I'd like to see O'Reilly out there in Ferguson playing fair and impartial. And after he gets hit with the first rock, I want to count all the N-words he uses. Yeah, it's nice to be fair and impartial. You know what George Patton said about the fair and impartial guys? He said, no combat decision was ever made. No decent combat decision was ever made in a swivel chair. And he despised all those generals that were kissing each other's ass at headquarters. Well, he was out there. You know, Eisenhower was a great pacifist. And he kept the coalition together. And by the way, that was the last coalition. And the French were dragged into it. Yeah. When I heard Bush talking about the coalition of the willing, and then Obama comes up with his coalition of the willing, at least old man Bush, he had 27 countries in his coalition of the willing. And then I think Georgie had 14. And then Obama, he's got two hostages. Yeah. I could, oh, this is, hello, England, this is Obama. I need your help. Hello, 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 France, this is Obama. Listen, hello. Yeah. He went all around Europe apologizing for World War II and the atrocities committed by the United States. He's our spokesman. This is the best we have. I'd rather have a cat. We should have elected a cat. At least a cat can meow. Unbelievable. So, a few black guys are coming out, and they're condemning what's taking place. And they're defending the police department that, why did Obama attack the entire police force in the United States? What's his plan? Why is a snake slithering out the back door? At the end of the month, Eric Holder, the bag man for the Clinton Mark Rich pardon, he put the package together. Check it out. And when Clinton was supposed to be investigated by Janet Reno for taking bribes, she resigned. And she appointed Mary Jo White to investigate President Pinocchio Pants. And his wife, the Super B of Benghazi. She's got a cape. The B. Got a big B on it. Yeah. Why did Mary Jo White resign 2 weeks after? And then there was no hearing. Did Bush pardon Clinton quietly on the QT? Now I see them. They're comparing libraries. And now Jeb wants to run. I got the two words for Jeb. F-I. Three words, I'm sorry. F-B-I. Forget about it. Yeah, forget about it. Like the FBI does. I hope this new FBI director is a hawk in the wind. I hope he's just biding his time so he can bring justice back to the United States. I hope he's not another plant like Mueller, who protected mosques but never the American people, walking around with his little attaché case under his arm, looking stern. Yeah. Oh, what a lemon he was. I got to tell you, man, we're electing all the wrong people, except Tea Party guys. And you see that Boehner and McConnell are already selling out. They have to be replaced. What they're doing is before the new lineup takes office, they're appointing themselves the leaders using the old lineup to vote them in. How's that? Because they may not get voted their jobs, their titles, when the new lineup comes in January. So they're setting that in stone now. I don't trust either of them. I know that Matt McConnell is a flag burner. He voted. He was one of eight rhinos who voted with 40 Democrats 40 days before 9/11. They voted to burn the flag. The Flag Desecration Act was up, and it lost. I'm not going to say it lost by one vote. The last time it came up, it lost by one vote. But back then, the vote was 48 to 52, and it was shelved. The Congress had passed the Flag Desecration Act. They sent it to the Senate. The Congress did it 55 days before 9/11. They sent the bill up to the Senate, and the Senate voted it down 40 days before 9/11. And then when 9/11 came and the Clinton Towers came down, okay, because Clinton could have taken out Bin Laden, who took out the Lion of the Pangaea the day before 9/11, the guy who warned us 9/11 was coming, Shah Ahmed Massoud of the Northern Alliance. And if you remember, it was his people who gave us victory in Afghanistan when we went in to get Bin Laden. And the Pakistanis helped him escape. And they kept him under their protection all this time. And if there's a dime going to Pakistan, that's too much money. Okay, just a little reminiscing of the good old days. So, what do we got here? You want to hear about Reed's Zombie Senate? There are a few black guys coming out against this attack on the police department of the United States. If you're a cop, man, this president hates your guts. You want to go back to the cop that arrested his buddy? Do you remember that? The cop that arrested Gates, the Harvard professor? You want to hear a story about Gates that nobody knows? The cop stopped him. You know the story about what happened. The cop stopped him. He was climbing in the window of his house because he didn't have a key. And the cop stopped him because he thought he was burglarizing the house. Hey, what are you doing? You know who I am? Don't you know who I am? No, you're breaking into a house. This is my house. So let me see you prove it. I don't have to prove anything to you. I'm a personal friend of the president, white boy. Yeah. So he went to jail. I think he arrested, and then they sorted it all out. And Obama, the president of the United States, this was the first cop atrocity. A cop arrested his buddy for being, playing the dozens. You don't know what that is. We can't get into too many explanations tonight. So Obama came on public television and called the cop a jerk. He called him stupid. And then Obama had to apologize. So how did he apologize to the cop? He bought him a beer. That's another put down. He's a cop. He's probably Irish. And they bought him a beer. We'll pay him off with a beer. That's it. And the cop went along because he was told to go along by the higher-ups that were kissing a higher-up ass. All right, the cop should have poured the beer over to both of them and sung a nation once again. But so Obama's been at war with the police for a long time. Yep. So Reed's Zombie Senate. I started to tell you about Gates. Okay, there was a documentary. I think at PBS. And it was Gates went on a tour of Africa to visit his roots. And I don't know if he's a Muslim or not, but he was salam aleikuming everybody he went to see. So he did the whole one coastline of Africa. I forget if it's the east or the west. And he went to different countries. And as he went to a country, everybody would give him a big welcome, and they'd give him 100 salam alaikums, and he was salam alaikuming everybody. And he was traveling, and he got all the way down to a country that used to be a slave pen, where the Africans, the strong Africans, would overpower the weak or unprepared, undefensible Africans, and sell them to slave traders who had pens along the shore of this African country. And then the Dutch slave ships and every other, whatever other country a slave ship, I say Dutch because they were the first ones to bring slaves to the United States. And they would buy the slaves at the beach and then take them to wherever they wanted to distribute them. So he's sitting in this town with the headman in an office, in a nice office, wall panel, you know, wood paneling. And he's got the headman, doesn't speak English, so he's got an interpreter. And Gates is going, "Salam alaikum, my brother, salam alaikum." And he goes, in the conversation, he's talking about how we're all one now. Okay, how we have many things in common, and we're all one. And he says something like, "We are the same." And the two Arabs start laughing. And it jarred him. And he goes, "What's so funny? Why is he laughing?" And the interpreter said, "No, you are black and we are Arab." Yeah. And that was somebody shot a hole in his socks. Yeah. So be careful. And never trust a guy who comes to you and says, "You and I are the same. We have to stick together." He is sticking it to you. Mark my words. When you hear that, run. So read Zombie Senate. Before Congress leaves for the Christmas holiday. They just got back. They just got back, these guys. They could be part-timers tomorrow. You wouldn't even know. And if they shut down the government, you won't miss it. Believe me, you won't miss it. Before Congress leaves for the Christmas holiday, it must first pass a new spending bill to prevent the government from shutting down after the current bill runs out on December the 11th. Read the article. There's a hand up. One hand, not two. They're not surrendering to the police. It is sad, man. I feel sorry for great black people who have worked their whole lives to get out from under a label, be it a label by their own people or a label by anybody else, to being called an Uncle Tom. Or they made a few bucks, they're an Uncle Tom, but a rap singer. The basketball star, I don't know his name, he came out today and he called them hoodie rats. Hoodie rats. And he also said they can't even keep their pants on. They're all hanging, their asses hanging out of their pants. You know, that's a jail symbol. Did you know that? Yeah. That's advertising in prison. I don't know why they do it, man. I don't know why they don't tie their shoelaces, and I don't know why they don't point their hat in the direction that they're walking. Before Congress leaves, it must pass this spending bill. No one wants a shutdown. I do, because I think it means nothing. I think when you have a shutdown, you find out that these guys don't work. They have no idea what the concept of work is, and they have a union. They have a union. And who is the union organized against? The taxpayer. Yeah. Temporarily, for now, the early word is that Republicans in leadership want to pass a long-term resolution that would set spending levels through the end of the current fiscal year on September the 30th, 2015. The measure they envision would reportedly omit spending related to immigration enforcement, which would receive a separate short-term treatment. No treatment, man. Stand now. If you really want to stand, give Obama a Christmas present, start impeachment proceedings. This man is out to destroy the country. He's got 2 years to do it. If you don't head him off at the pass, believe me when I tell you, you will regret the day this guy was born. You have no idea what's coming your way. You're watching all the wrong channels, baby. You have no idea what's coming your way. It is still a terrible idea to pass a long-term spending bill during a lame duck Congress. Republican conservatives did not just knock on doors, make calls, post yard signs, and donate millions in the recent election so that Harry Reid's zombie Senate, the one the voters just rejected, could live for another 10 months through whatever last-minute spending bills it is willing to pass. Put an end to this now. Don't be playing holidays. Every day is a critical day in the life of this country. And for the first time in a long time, Americans are going to have oil money back in their pocket. And we should take advantage of the momentum in our favor and continue pushing the envelope. So, having said that, I'm going to play a tune that is never heard in Washington, D.C.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. I can always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart out on my sleeve. But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to be.
Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly
Yes, honesty. You have to dig up Abe Lincoln to find an honest man. Oh, there's some guys out there that are good. And some would surprise you. Okay. Here's the, this is a, from, let me see, who this is World Net Daily. A guy named Bob Unruh. And the article is Bloody Christmas, a Spectacular Attack Alert. Another coordinated terror attack using jetliners reminiscent of 9/11 could be in the works, according to an airport security source cited by a London paper. We have been told that five planes are being targeted in a high-profile hit before Christmas, the source said, according to an Express newspaper of London. They've been waiting for the big one. Many of the security precautions facing airline passengers worldwide were implemented after four jetliners were hijacked on September 11, 2001. Four that we know about. We don't know how many guys walked off of other planes. Killing nearly 3,000 people in the U.S. The new threat was reported in the Express, a story about whether those who leave Britain to fight with jihadists abroad should be allowed to return. Moderator Ian Collins talked about the issue with Douglas Murray of the Henry Jackson Society and radical British Muslim cleric Anjem Chowdhury. Oh, that's great. That's a good way to have a little discussion. Yeah, tell them what you know. Murray said the homegrown jihadists should be dealt with in the nation's justice system. Don't ask me how I would do it. I believe in you meet them on the battlefield, you leave them on the battlefield, or you leave yourself on the battlefield. The security sources were not identified by the paper. The report said mobile phones and electronics on flights still could be banned. The unidentified airport security official said, "We have many scares, but this one nearly got hand baggage pulled from all airlines. The threat is still alive and real." So maybe they're going to hit the UK, but don't count on it. For example, it said David Drudgen, 24, a trusted Al-Qaeda bomb maker, recently was killed in Syria. He was part of the Khorasan group, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, and was said to be targeting U.S. and U.K. airlines with non-metallic explosive devices, which could be concealed in mobile phones, computers, and printer cartridges. Sally Livesley, a terrorism expert, told the Express there appears to have been dry runs already. Do you remember Operation Bojinka? That started out in the Philippines. Did you know that there was a terrorist dressed as a priest that got through Philippine customs because they're Catholic? The idea of using a jetliner not only recalls the September 11th attack, but the Bojinka plot in 1995 to blow up a dozen American airliners over the Pacific. You mean like that MH370 that nobody's found yet? Operation Bojinka allegedly was organized by Ramzi Youssef. That's the guy that did the World Trade Center. Abdul Hakim Murad and Wali Khan Amin Shah. It was in January of 1995 when Youssef's Manila apartment caught fire, weeks before the plan was to be implemented. And the Filipino police did their job. God bless them. And the Bojinka trial ran from May 29th to September 5th, 1996. Period. Clinton advisor Dick Morris has aptly called the terror summer of 1996. A fellow prisoner seeking a reduced sentence told authorities Youssef disclosed the plot to him. On July 2nd, a week after the truck bombing of Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia, killing 19 American Air Force personnel, and this president had the opportunity to take out the bin Laden, and he didn't do it. I hope he didn't do it for money. It's only a gut feeling. Yusuf assigned responsibility. He had a look on his face when he learned about 911. He was in Australia. And I didn't see the picture, and I could never find the picture. But there was a picture of him when he was told about 911. The towers were coming down in New York. And he had a look on his face that had guilt written all over it. Try and find that picture. And prove me wrong. Yusuf assigned responsibility to Al-Qaeda's Osama bin Laden, with whom he was collaborating, the source said. The source said Yusuf was originally sent on a mission to check out security measures. As July 17th approached, Yusuf was warning friends not to fly TWA, out of business, by the way, or American Airlines, and so was Pan Am out of business. They both put out of business by terrorists. And that's what they wanted to do to American Airlines and U.S. Air. As July 17th approached, he warned his friends. WND columnist Jack Cashel has written extensively about the case. He reported after the TWA Flight 800 disaster, July 17, 1996, Yusuf called 911 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Obama's trying to get him released now. Probably going to bring him into his cabinet. And what about those poor bastards down at Fort Hood that were gunned down by a Muslim terrorist shouting Allahu Akbar? Come, that was classified by the communists as workplace violence. Don't you think that that should be turned around and those guys should receive combat pay for being in a war zone? Do you think that GIs who are tried for premeditated murder in war zones and are convicted by officers that never served in a war zone, do you think that their families should still be entitled to benefits while their wage earner rots in jail? Do you think that we, the American people, should punish the wives and children of Americans who may be unjustly sentenced at Fort Leavenworth? Should we ask for a review of the cases that sit there and rot? We've got, what, over 400 somewhat congressmen. We got 100 senators, and nobody ever says, let's do a review of guys that might be in prison unjustly. But Obama will turn loose every drug dope dealer in the country and say we need the room. He will turn terrorists loose, but not one unjustly black sergeant with two kids sitting in Fort Leavenworth, rotting his life away. It is sad that we are letting the good guys die while we worship the bad guys. The TWA Flight 800 disaster, July 17, 1996. He called Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that night saying, what had to be done has been done. TWA 800. Cashel said he had two separate sources within the NSA confirmed that Yusuf made the call. I got to tell you something. I do not want to hamper the NSA in any way. And I don't care who is offended. You can tap my phone all day long, and I'm sure you're doing it already. I want to just give you a little rundown. This is WorldNet Daily, related stories to Muslim terror. And here are the headlines of each one of these stories. Muslim terror army eyes expansion to Christian land. Another one. More terror, more Palestinians dancing in the streets. Muslim marauders recruit children to fight war. Terrorists turn to women for suicide missions. These are all different articles. State Department promotes pro-jihad handbook. There's two agencies in this country I would like to get rid of, the EPA and the State Department. And if I was the president, which I will never be, because I'm too good to be true, I would make every ambassador retire tomorrow, and I would replace them with vets in wheelchairs who could use the money. Supremes asked to shut down Facebook and Jihad. Facebook friends honor Oklahoma beheading victim. Oklahoma beheader represents real Islam, promoting terrorists. I hope they don't get government money. And if they do, I think I would cut back on the expenses. All the ballet dancers would have to wear used combat boots. Fresh plot to bring down airplanes. Obama reprises terrorists aren't Muslim theme. ISIS tied a Boston mosque, massive FBI failure. Refugees in U.S. state drawn to welfare and jihad. U.S. government, I would get rid of welfare. I would put an end to it. 1 month, I'd put out the blow the trumpet, 1 month left for welfare. Go out and get a job. And those who are physically incapable of working, I would take care of. But if you got two arms, two legs, and two lungs, and your heart is beating, I started to tell you about the hood, right? They brought dope into a poor neighborhood, and now it's a ghetto. At 6 o'clock in the morning, on the steps of the ghetto buildings, you will find half of Mexico waiting to go to work. And contractors will pull in with trucks at 6 o'clock in the morning, shouting, I need 5, I need 7, I need 10. And they all go to work. Yet the inhabitants inside the buildings haven't gotten up yet to go look for a job. And why would they take a job when they can make more money on welfare? ISIS tie to Boston mosque, massive FBI failure. U.S. government breeding terrorists in Minnesota. Common link among the world's most brutal terrorists. Fort Hood shooter pleads to join ISIS. Obama named in RICO lawsuit. Christians told to fight back brutally against the jihadists. Congressman Obama denying Nigeria help to fight terror. Hannity skewers care for giving Hamas a free ride. U.S. ally underwriting jihadist expansion into Africa. Wonder who that is. Don't tell me it's Qatar. U.S. dollars flow to fund a jihad. I believe that. Islamic State calls for a comic book artist's death. Spying on CARE chief. Jihadist leader rebels against Islamic State. ISIS, give over girls for sex jihad. ISIS, Boko Haram share aim to establish Muslim empire. Muslim bullies waging war on ordinary Americans. Sex offenders should be strung up and dismembered. Islam expert, people afraid to tell truth. Iraq invaders threaten nuke attack on Israel. Major U.S. city next target for Islamic terror. They're not saying New York, are they? Rebels trained by U.S. to handle chemical weapons. ISIS scores big with Iraq weapons of mass destruction. A seized Benghazi suspect worked for U.S. Obama scheme derailed. Capture of Benghazi killer. Al-Qaeda attacks knocks out Yemeni grid. Oh, by the way, speaking of grids, the city of Detroit lost its electricity today. Hope fades for schoolgirls held by Boko Haram. Terrorists sing of slaughtering Jews and Christians. Obama, no American help for Iraq. Iraqi Air Force evacuating besieged U.S. contractors, except for the one that they killed yesterday. Clooney stands up for persecuted Christians. Oh, were there cameras there? USAID spawning new breed of jihadists. USAID. Our money is being used to destroy us. U.S. leaves pregnant Christian to hang. State Department living in altered state of reality. I call it a mini UN. They have never been for this country. They get the GIs killed. All you got to do is say the magic word, Fallujah. And they killed Marines in Fallujah by thinking they could negotiate in the middle of taking the city and pulled all the Marines out and then lost the negotiations and then said, okay, the Marines have to go back in now. They should have went back in, leading the charge. New age of terror, Islam metastasizing worldwide. Congressman Obama empowering Boko Haram. Imagine this, now Al-Qaeda is a worse threat. Pakistanis rebuke West for appeasing Islam. Pregnant Christian to die for refusing to convert. Al-Qaeda link with Iran confirmed. Osama bin Laden had one of his sons there, hiding out in Iran. A boy killed because he might grow up Christian. U.S. negligence armed Boko Haram. Hollywood glamour girls wake up to holy war. Legal expert warns of homegrown jihadi threat. Obama wants to train Libyan pilots again. Muslim violence surges for Easter week. Congress prepares to punish Hezbollah. Islamic group urges supporter to kill Christians. U.S. blocks a Christian governor from Nigeria peace talks. Federal insurance to cover terrorist attacks to expire. Bin Laden bodyguard wants out of Guantanamo. Government helpless to stop massive Christian cleansing. They're not helpless. Don't give me that helpless crap. They can do anything they want. And they conquered Libya without even an act of Congress. Muslims conduct human sacrifice on video. CARE tries bribery to shut down briefing on Muslim threat. Egypt threatened by mass terrorist invasion. Islamists pay gold or die Christians. Congressman rips lackluster response to Texas terror camp. Syrian blowback, American jihadis attacking the homeland. New terror compound found in heart of Texas. Radical Muslims opposing newborns with grenades. Islamists pick launch pad for attack on Israel. Watch Arab gang hurl stones at Israeli soldiers. Smoking gun, Saudis running jihadists in Syria. Did U.S. dodge lone wolf attack on the grid? Anti-Israel terror surges in 2013. And I can go on. This goes on and on. We're in a war. Nobody knows it. The government doesn't want you to know we're in a war. It is terrible. Okay. Let me see if we can find a tune for you. We did honesty, right? If you were the only girl in the world, I'll be home for Christmas. That's Fats Domino. Thank you. What do they say in Dante's Inferno? The lowest level of hell is reserved for those who betray a trust. And who is more trusting than little children? They're so innocent, and they're so full of love and happiness. I mean, it doesn't take much. You leave a kid alone, he can entertain himself. And it must be horrible as a child when you get your first disappointment in somebody that you trust and you betrayed. It must be horrible. Too many of us don't want our kids to stay young. And the mothers that hustle up their daughters. Man, youth is the height of innocence and happiness. Don't blow it. There's a story about never disappointing your children. A couple were married for 75 years, and they went to court and filed for a divorce. And the judge asked the husband, "How old are you?" He says, "I'm 98. To the wife, "How old are you?" He says, "I'm 96. He says, "You're married 75 years? Why did you wait so long to get a divorce?" He says, "We wanted to wait until the kids were dead." Here's some sad news. You know that Planned Parenthood kills 3,000 kids a day, right? Sanctioned by the Party of Death and Party de la Muerte, the Democrat Party. Yeah, they call it pro-choice, but the kid has no choice. This is New York City. Now, I started to tell you, Planned Parenthood, they kill 3,000 kids a day. 1,200 are white, 1,100 are black, 700 are Latino niños. Okay? Now, that's 3,000. There's another 1,700 being murdered by other agencies. 4,700 American kids are murdered every day. Now, that comes out to 1,200,000 a year. Forget illegal immigration. Guess how many legal immigrants enter the United States every year? 1,200,000. It's a wash. Here's from CNS News. The headline, New York City, 78% of abortions. 78% of abortions were black and Hispanic babies. This is New York City, 77.56% of the abortions in 2011 were performed on black and Hispanic babies, according to the latest data from the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control. They have some good stats. They can tell you when AIDS began and where it originated. You should Google that one. The abortion surveillance report published by the CDC, for which the latest abortion numbers are for 2011, show that there were 76,251 abortions in New York City that year. For that total, 9,550 abortions were of white babies, which is 12.5% of the total. 35,188 babies were black. That's 46.1% of the total. And 23,959 were Hispanic, 31.4%. And another 7,554 other abortions, 9.9%, which includes Asians and Native Americans, as well as those babies not reported by race. Abortions of black and Hispanic babies combined totaled 59,147. That is 77.56% of the total abortions in New York City. Blacks, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, make up 25.5% of the population in New York City, and Hispanics comprise 28.6% of the New York City population. So the combination of the two, 55% of New York City, outnumber the whites. Despite their population percentages, blacks make up 46% of the abortions and Hispanics 31% of the abortions. While whites comprise only 44% of the New York population, they made up 12.5% of total abortions in the city. The total for one city, 76,251 babies killed, surpasses the number of abortions of any state reporting, according to the CDC. No other state reporting its abortion numbers surpassed 76,251 babies killed. However, combine the New York City abortion numbers with the New York State number, and the total is 103,000, which is still higher than any other state reporting. And you know who came in second? The state of Texas, 71,000 abortions. So, there's a little homework. I'm going to close with a tune that I used to play for all of the widows and children of the victims of the war of 9-1-1, which is ongoing, and it's coming up on its 14th year. We are still fighting Islam, the greater threat, a threat greater than Islam, because they use Islam. is the communist threat. And I hear people talking like communism died in the 50s. It never died. It's only gotten stronger. And they are stronger in almost every country that they are in. And they are a bigger threat today than ever before. They just morphed and changed their names and their flags and their colors. But they're still the same. So this tune is dedicated to over 10,000 Americans who have died in this war, in this jihad that has been foisted on us. And I'm dedicating this to all of the GIs, widows, widowers, and their children. One of my shows, I put up a cartoon of a mother and two children having Thanksgiving dinner. And at the head of the table, they got a picture of their father who's overseas fighting this war. So this tune is dedicated to all you real Americans who are paying the ultimate price, the less than 1% of this country that defends it. And that's all that's holding us together. And that's all that's keeping us from being murdered in our beds.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes.